In Canada and in countries around the world, the month of June is celebrated as the month of Pride. That's right, the month of Pride. A time when thousands of people from around the world signal with rainbows and with flags, with statements and signs, with fashion and friendship and love, inclusivity and peace, that it is just better, not to mention a more just way to treat one another. The month is meant to celebrate the many gifts shared in resilience of a people of the LGBTQ2IA+ community. I had to Google that because I'm never 100% up on it. Which includes individuals who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, two-spirited, as well as a range of other gender and sexual identities. Now, there are still some in the world that might say, so what? So what's the big deal? Why do we need a parade to make public what ought to be a private matter? Well, just as we hear in the scriptures today, the big deal might just be peace. As we all know, there have been people who identify as LGBTQ since the dawn of time and through many civilizations. It isn't some new modern development created to change the order of things. It has always just been people living in community. But the reclamation of Pride as a public-wide event is held annually in many cities around the world in honor and in commemoration of the Stonewall riots, which took place in New York City in June of 1969. At the time, a queer-friendly establishment known as the Stonewall Inn in New York was the site of several police raids targeting LGBTQ individuals. This led to a series of riots that were held outside of the Stonewall Inn and intensified the fight for equal rights for the LGBTQ community. The riots, which were violent and not peaceful at all, were a turning point in the history and credited with opening the door to equal rights and opportunity for LGBTQ2IA+ individuals and their families around the world today. 50 years later, here in Canada, as we celebrate Pride in cities across the country, including in Victoria today, an officer on the news last week of the Ontario Police and an advocate for Pride events in the Toronto area, he said, I think we take for granted that everyone gets accepted everywhere and all the time. And quite frankly, that's not the case. I'm here because I believe in community and I believe in peace. A call for community and peace and a promise of God's nearness in the midst of rejection is what we find in this week's text from the Gospel of Luke. The story of Jesus sending out the 70 gives us a glimpse into what it looked like to follow Jesus in the first generation. Jesus sends his disciples out before him, intending to confirm God's presence among all who the 70 encounter, as if Jesus himself was in the midst of those communities already. His instructions seem deceptively simple and low maintenance. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. This word of peace is the first word, the opening word, the announcing word that Jesus has for us as he meets us. Jesus does not tell any of the 70 to do any type of assessment before making this proclamation either. He doesn't ask them to determine whether this house follows the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or whether this house has kept the law, or whether this house is likely to receive the good news that Jesus brings. Jesus doesn't ask them to do a risk assessment or prejudge of whether this house will be worth their time. No, Jesus just sends us out to be with our neighbors, vulnerably, without malice and without harm. Jesus goes on to instruct us in the mutuality of sharing peace. If anyone there who shares in peace, your peace will rest upon that person. But if not, it will return to you. Are we known for our peaceable ways? I'd like to think so. After all, Jesus' words assume that the house he has chosen to send out into the world have a solid sense of God's peace to begin with, that will return to us in times of rejection or violence. In fact, according to Luke, we might want to assume that rejection happens, but so does God's peace, and thereby God's joy. And our human ways of harm towards each other and ourselves is why Jesus is on a mission for the world, with his face set towards Jerusalem. A long time ago, when I was young, in 2010, I was employed by a downtown Lutheran church as their full-time parish worker. A number of people in the congregation at that time, under the direction of the pastor, had just engaged in a Bible study that had been put out by the National Lutheran Church on human sexuality. It was a time in the life of the Lutheran Church, very much like the Anglican Church is today, where the church body has not made a clear statement on whether the church would sanctify same-gender marriages, whether the church would openly allow LGBTQ2IA+ pastors in pulpits, and whether the church would publicly uphold the dignity and humanity and rights of LGBTQ2IA+ people. Now, in that climate and that time, a few folks at that downtown Lutheran church decided, after thoughtful and prayerful engagement in the study, that they'd get parish council's approval to have a big sign made. Nothing flashy. They were Lutherans, after all. But it said, "Lutherans for Pride," in rainbow colors. They gathered the folks at the other Lutheran church, there's only two, and they made the necessary plans to march in the Victoria Pride Parade. Now, not everyone in the church was on board with this action. There were some that believed that the congregation should just wait until all the I's were dotted and all the T's were crossed on any national church decision, which, by the way, finally happened a year later, by vote in convention in 2011. There were some that believed that the church had no business in political activism. And there were some that just felt way too uncomfortable to be engaging in a topic that ought to remain private. And so, along with 20 brave Lutherans, making that pairs of 10, which included the two pastors of the main Lutheran congregations, we held tightly to our sign and marched alongside people whom we did not expect to receive us. Now, as Pastor Brenda and I made our way down to Pandora Street to meet up with the rest of the folk, she wondered briefly if she should wear her collar or if she should take it off. She knew way too many people that had been hurt by the church in her life. Way too many brilliant and wonderful people within the church who loved God and who had had their lives torn apart by intolerance and violence because of who they chose to love and who they chose to build family with. I told her to keep it on, and she did. We walked over to Pandora, she in her collar and both of us adorned with fun hats, colorful boas, and layer upon layer of Mardi Gras-styled beaded necklaces. And we met up with other Christian friends who were dressed just as fabulously. Now, If you've ever been to Pride, you can attest to the fact that it has the most joyful, celebratory, love-filled vibe ever. People are laughing and smiling and cheering, and there's a lot of good music and dancing. In fact, you can't help but dance. Who could help dance with a great beat and costumes and floats and people expressing without oppression, pride in who they are instead of shame? As we neared Wharf Street, a woman who we didn't know started yelling at Pastor Brenda, "Thank you, thank you." She was farther back in the crowd, and she made her way into the street with tears in her eyes. And she said, "Can I give you a hug?" And Pastor Brenda said, "Of course." And the woman started crying. And she said, "Thank you so much for being here. I don't even know what to say." And then she started weeping, which made many of us start weeping. We didn't even know her story. All we knew was that she was glad to see God where she was, and she wept for joy because of it. It was a shocking moment for all of us. I don't think any of us understood the impact of our presence and what it would have on anyone that considered themselves disciples of Jesus but felt rejected by the church. We kept marching and dancing, if you can imagine a bunch of awkward Lutherans trying to dance down Wharf Street. I'm willing to bet Lutherans have way less dance moves than Anglicans, but we'd have to have a dance-off to prove that. And along the way, we kept getting smiles and kisses blown to us. There were the occasional glares and the occasional scowls, and somehow it didn't shake us because of the way that that woman had received us with great joy. She helped us to know by her tears that God's love is beyond anything that anybody could ever possibly understand. And so we err on the side of God's grace, not needing to understand fully and to be grateful and confident that the kingdom of God is indeed and always so nearby. In a few weeks, actually next week, the Anglican Church will meet in General Synod in Vancouver to have its third and final reading and vote on the controversial amendment to the marriage canon. It is a very important time in the life of the church and in our witness of Christ's peace in the world. And whether the vote to amend is rejected or accepted, the peace of Christ will remain as God's truth upon the church, no matter our reactions. As Christians, we can reliably root our lives in these two proclamations: peace to this house, and the kingdom of God has come near. This is the good news that we have to share with all whom we encounter. These proclamations keep our gaze on God's activity right in front of us, rather than turning it to blaming or accusing or judgmental analyzing, symptoms that relatively hold our lives in bondage and keep communities divided. As Paul said to the Galatians, "May I never boast of anything except for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." It might be hard to know in 2019, 50 years after Stonewall, what God is sending us into as we journey together as the body of Christ. But we cannot forget that Jesus' act of sending out the 70 who are full and confident in God's peace happens right after Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem, towards God's salvation for the entire world. His journey is a journey of death and resurrection for all. And as we follow, not knowing exactly and entirely what to expect or what this will ask of us. Our call is to embody the message of Christ in the world, a message that is an unmistakable message of peace, steeped in an unmistakable assurance that God's kingdom is so close. It is so close that we would be able to recognize it in the tears of a stranger. Two weeks ago, Bishop Logan invited all the congregations to close up shop for today and to be the peace of Christ that we are called to be. Two by two, and certainly more than 70, in the Victoria Pride Parade, and certainly at all Pride events happening around our city, and including the Pride Evensong at the Cathedral tonight. In this very moment, well, pretty soon, our Diocese of British Columbia, the Diocese of the Islands and Inlets, has a float made in cooperation by St. John the Divine in Victoria, St. George the Martyr, Cadborough Bay, Church of the Advent, Colwood, they've closed up shop today, and our Mother Christ Church Cathedral. And it will be inching its way down Government Street to Wharf Street. And with them, representing for all of us here today, is our Bishop Logan, who boldly and lovingly understands what our witness could mean to so many. And there are many clergy of the diocese, many lay people, friends and families, and I heard last night that both Lutheran churches are joining with the Anglicans this year. I can only imagine how terrifying and wonderful at the same time it will be for them as they venture out into a place that God has already claimed as God's, to share in the peace and the joy of God's kingdom, alive and well in uncharted territory. God bless them and us all with a peace that passes all understanding as we do. Amen.